This is All In. I'm Matt Pelser. Today is Red for Ed at the State House. Thousands of teachers descending upon the Indiana State House to demand, a lot of things. We're here to talk with Jeannie Lindsay, our education reporter for Indiana Public Broadcasting, who is at the State House right now, in case you hear some background noise. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Matt.
So what is Red for Ed?
Well, Red for Ed is the name of a national movement for public teachers to basically make their voices heard. It's kind of a brand that they can all unify behind. So if you were at the State House today, you would see a sea of red just outside. It's quite insane, actually. The energy here is electric. There are just tons of people. It's this national movement that's come to Indiana. I heard it started in Arizona, so it's kind of just spread all over at this point.
It's also Organization Day at the State House today, the name for the ceremonial kickoff for the new legislative session. What is Organization Day in practice?
Yeah, so Organization Day is basically when lawmakers come back to the State House for the first time for the session that happens the following year. So the legislative session that's happening it starts January 2020. Lawmakers are here today to swear in new lawmakers. They're here to kind of do roll call for the first time, basically check in and do some of the procedural organization stuff just to get ready so when they come back in January, they can hit the ground running.
And I assume that these coincide on purpose. Am I correct?
Right. So I've talked to a couple of organizers of today's event, and one of them from Southern Indiana was talking, and they were identifying today as a good day to come back to the State House. If you remember, there was a State House rally back in March when lawmakers were in session working on the state budget, but that was on a Saturday, so people weren't missing school. Lawmakers weren't really here doing anything, but it was during the legislative session. But today, lawmakers are here, and teachers are here, and they're not in school, It's a way to get them connected with lawmakers, before going into the session to really make their voices heard, tell them their perspective and where they're at on different issues.
So is the rally today different than past Red for Ed events in any way?
ISTA has done events like this. Local schools, local unions have organized, different walk-ins, different things like that. Sometimes they just wear red to school on Wednesdays. There's a hashtag, on Wednesdays we wear red. There's been quite a bit of action around this Red for Ed movement, but this is kind of the biggest one we've seen so far. A lot of teachers I've talked to say they've never seen anything like this here, so it's kind of a big deal.
Do you know about how many people showed up?
Well, the union was reporting, ISTA, the Indiana State Teachers Association, was reporting they were expecting about 16,000 people. Now, I'm no crowd estimate expert, but I would say that they might be on the mark there. There are thousands of people outside. It really is. When I say a sea of red, I wall-to-wall people just in red all over the campus grounds. And I think they're actually about to start marching around the block here in a couple of minutes.
I have to imagine that there are a lot of teachers from the Indianapolis area, a little easier for them to get here. And we're going to talk to one later in the show. But does it seem like a lot of people came from around the state? How geographically diverse is the group?
Yeah, I would say, there are a fair amount of people who have come from all over the state. I personally was on a bus full of teachers coming from Bedford earlier this morning. And on our way up, we saw cars and vans of people in red. We stopped at a gas station for a restroom break, and there were people there that weren't with us, but were still coming to the State House. And they actually blocked off some parking spaces here on the block to help unload buses. So buses have been pulling up. I saw three buses from Vigo County. So definitely a lot of representation from Indianapolis, I'm sure, but also a lot of representation from around the state.
So you actually rode on the bus with some of these teachers and advocates who are coming downtown. What was the energy like with that group?
It's exciting. I mean, they're frustrated that they have to be here, but, you know, they're all here together. They really are, you know, trying to unify, to come together and share, you know, what it is that they want. And so, you know, people were, you know, greeting each other. It was kind of a nice, pleasant morning, even though very early. So overall, there is a lot of energy of, you know, wanting action. There's a lot of optimism. There's still frustration, you know, but it really is a lot going on.
Does anything else jump out at you about the group demographically?
Well, one thing I think is interesting is that, you know, a lot of kids in Indiana today are not in school. I think more than 600,000 children in the state, which is more than half of kids who are enrolled, aren't in school today. And some of them are here. So, you know, there are a lot of teachers, but there are community members and there are students and kids here as well. So it's not just teachers. It's, you know, whoever feels like they have a stake in this game.
The Indiana State Teachers Association talked about their key issues going into today's rally, and there are three. But what kinds of things have you heard so far talking to the actual teachers there?
A lot of the issues, you know, there are definitely specifics in policy, but there's also just a general tone of wanting more of this word respect. Respect has come up a lot. It's something that in my reporting I've come up against a lot, that this word respect. And it's really just the way lawmakers make laws and talk to teachers and treat teachers and listen to teachers. And so a lot of them just want lawmakers to, you know, slow down and pay more attention and listen to what they have to say when making big policy decisions, because there's a lot that changes year to year. And so they really are just wanting a sense of maybe calm a little bit, but really it boils down to respect. That's the word that has kind of been the theme of the day, if you will.
Have you talked to any legislators about the demonstration? What's their reaction been?
So I have got a couple of meetings, interviews with lawmakers later today. I'm going to be speaking with the House Education Committee Chair, Bob Boehning, and I'm not sure what he'll say. But yesterday there was an Indiana, the Chamber of Commerce had their legislative preview luncheon, and House Speaker Brian Bosma was there talking about Red for Ed. And he said he was looking forward to today's rally and talking with teachers. He mentioned he was going to get a new red tie and things like that. But, you know, he is kind of, I guess, more hesitant to maybe address all of the concerns when asked about funding. You know, he pointed to administrative level costs for local districts. So, you know, he's asking locals to look at their own administrator expenses. So it's kind of a mixed bag. We won't really know exactly, you know, what they think about it. On a widespread level, really, until we get back into the session and talk with them a little bit more. But overall, you know, I've seen some lawmakers here already talking to teachers. There was a House Education Committee person, Representative Jim Lucas. I walked by him chatting with a couple of teachers. Definitely a spirited conversation there. But teachers are here to do that. So, you know, they're really hoping that on this organization day, when lawmakers are here, that they can catch them and talk to them about, you know, what they need and what they want moving forward into 2020.
Yeah, the whole point of this is to get a message to lawmakers. Does it seem like that's happening? Are lawmakers listening or maybe even directly communicating with teachers?
Yeah, so it's kind of hard to say exactly what the messages will, you know, be picked up on from lawmakers. You know, the bills that they file will be very telling about how today goes. So really, once we get into the legislative session, that'll be a really great time for us to dig into the lawmaker response, because they'll be proposing bills or not, on different issues that the teachers are focused on. But teachers definitely have a message. I was just outside a couple of minutes ago, and they were chanting, we will vote you out of here. So, you know, their minds are on 2020, and if after the legislative session they still aren't feeling, you know, satisfied with the progress or with what's going on, you know, they really are ready to use their ballots to make their voices heard, you know, after 2020 session and after today.
Yeah, how much political power does it seem like the ISTA has right now?
Yeah, so ISTA has always been a very political presence here. Obviously, you know, it's the union, so they're always in the state house talking to lawmakers about union issues. But, I mean, with state superintendent of public instruction, Jennifer McCormick, still in office for another year, I mean, she is definitely a very friendly figure to the Red for Ed movement. Earlier today, she was at a press conference, and she was, you know, talking about these issues, and there were a crowd of teachers, you know, applauding her. So I think ISTA is really capitalizing on the energy that is kind of picking up in local areas. And there's a friendly figure in the state house, Jennifer McCormick, to kind of carry that torch, even if teachers aren't here. So she's been very vocal about these issues. She's not really been holding back on her criticisms or, you know, pointing out different facts and figures, and really getting more people engaged. So I think it's a partnership of ISTA, the American Federation of Teachers, which is another big union in the state, and Jennifer McCormick, and, you know, other lawmakers who are really interested in this, you know, topic in education and teachers' cause. So it's really a collaborative effort across several fronts to get the political needle moving, I guess.
Yeah, I imagine that Jennifer McCormick has a busy day ahead of her. And I don't really know what her role would be in this. Is she going to march with the teachers? Is she going to be an advocate with them? You've talked about how she has spoken out in their favor, but does she have to kind of be careful as to, I don't know, how she sort of presents herself in this debate?
Well, it's her last year in office, and so, you know, after she leaves, whoever takes on that role is going to be appointed by the state's governor, whether it's Holcomb, who wins re-election, or a challenger that comes up in the Democratic or other primary. So I don't really feel like she's thinking about being careful at this point. You know, she, the entire time that I have, you know, been reporting on education, she always talks about doing what's best for kids. She's not necessarily interested in political games or political, you know, chess. She is really interested in saying what's on her mind and what is best for kids in her mind. And so she's not really being shy. I don't know that she's marching with teachers, but as soon as she was done with her press conference, you know, she was walking around, shaking hands, talking to folks. So very present, very busy day. But she's here with teachers and ready to speak up for them.
And you as well are having a very busy day. Jeannie Lindsay, our education reporter for Indiana Public Broadcasting at the State House for Red for Ed right now. Jeannie, thanks for your time.
Yeah, absolutely, Matt.
And up next, we're going to talk to the president of the Indiana State Teachers Association, Keith Gamble. This is a pre-recorded conversation about the goals spelled out for Red for Ed and the march and rally at the State House today. I'm Matt Pelser. This is All In. We're back in 90 seconds. This is All In. I'm Matt Pelser. We're talking about today's Red for Ed rally, and we're glad to have Keith Gamble. He's the president of the Indiana State Teachers Association, or ISTA. Keith, thanks for coming in.
Certainly happy to be here.
We'll get all the details about what today's rally is about in a little bit. But before we get there, what is Red for Ed?
Red for Ed is a national movement that is public school teachers bringing forward the need to do what's right for our public schools. Some of that's in funding. Other is in testing has been an issue in many states, and a variety of issues, both local and state and national. And they want to share that information with their communities and lawmakers. And so you've seen it happen all across the country.
And how many school districts across the state canceled classes today because of this?
The last count I had was around the range of 140, I believe.
And what school district do you work for currently?
I am a middle school music teacher for the Evansville-Vandenberg School Corporation in Evansville.
Oh, so you traveled a good way to be here today.
For my responsibilities as president of ISTA, I am up here much of the time.
So how long have you been a teacher?
I started my career in 1987.
Well, let's get back to Red for Ed. Do you know how many participants registered for the rally?
We currently have over 14,000 that have registered, approaching 15,000, and we are expecting that for the state capitol. And so we're very much excited about the energy that's been created around our day of action.
That's really going to crowd the grounds there. It's going to be a lot of people.
It is going to be a lot of people. We know that folks are trying to make use of busing as much as they can. We've sent out information about the Red Line and hoping some of those that are coming in from the north may park their car a little bit further up and take the Red Line in. And all of the apps that help you find parking places, we've sent all of that out to folks. So we're going to help to get them all in there.
And teachers held a rally at the State House earlier this year in March to raise awareness for school funding needs. And then some local Red for Ed events have been held around the state. What role does today's rally play in all of these efforts? How important is today?
Today's very important because I think it is the next step in letting our communities know and most importantly our lawmakers know how much traction this movement has and the energy that's around it and how important we believe in these issues. You know, in the surveys of Hoosier families, this is very high in their priorities. And so we know that work has to be done. But when you look at what we've done already, we've sent our postcards and our emails, made our phone calls. We've had folks marching in parades and had booths at county fairs over the summertime. And our rally last year was on a Saturday, and we still filled the State House on a Saturday. Mm. And this is just the next step in moving these issues forward.
And so the Indiana State Teachers Association says it's focused on three key issues. Let's go through each one. The first is repealing new career awareness licensing rules for educators. And we had a show on this change a little while ago. But just to refresh everyone's memory, what are those new rules?
Well, this is 15 hours of the 90 hours that teachers have to renew their license, then is directed away from teacher content and instead is moved over to an externship into a business other than education. And our thought behind this is that the focus on licensing should be about the teacher's practice in the classroom. And to separate and take out hours is the wrong direction. Likewise, we do not see any evidence that this will improve student achievement and, moreover, that it will not advance the economics of the state.
What does the path look like to get that done? Is a full repeal the only option, or could it be more complicated than that? Could there be some compromise there?
We would have to see what a compromise would look like. But right now, we believe that it is best to just repeal, and whatever the lawmakers were seeking to accomplish, let's go back and have the conversation about what were they trying to accomplish with this and what would be the most appropriate way to move forward. But right now, from our vantage point, it is a solution in search of a problem.
Yeah, okay. So what does the Indiana State Teachers Association think that they were trying to get at with that, with the externship requirement and things like that?
The best we can come up with is that they were hoping that by teachers going through an externship that they would be more inclined to inform students about other career paths that they might have as they move through their time in school. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you take a look at, for myself, I just renewed my license for 10 years. So I'll not have to take the externship until 2029. And if I'm still with middle schoolers, that means that I would be influencing the job market or the workforce for 20, 35, 36, 20, 40. If there's a need for us to assist students in careers and that that's going to have an economic impact on the state, we need to be looking at something that's going to make that happen quickly. And there probably are solutions when we go back and look at some of our career tech pathways in schools, ways in which we could assist perhaps, and there may be some gaps that we could help fill in.
It's been said that public education, it serves to create citizens and not employees. There's a spectrum there, you know, citizens versus employees. Where does the ISTA stand on that?
Well, we definitely think that citizenship is vitally important. And when you look at what many that forecast where we will, what will our needs in this country be as we move forward, being so specific into one particular job is really not the best way for us to move. And so if we're looking at a well-rounded education, one that that really helps students to develop curiosity and creativity, wonder, that creates an entrepreneurship within them, if you instill those factors, they're going to be qualified in many areas after they leave high school.
All right. So that's the first of the three issues, repealing the new career awareness licensing. The second key issue is avoiding penalties for schools and teachers because of low ILEARN scores. ILEARN is the state's new standardized test that replaced ISTEP. What's the purpose of the test? What's it measuring?
Well, the test is based, as we are told, on Indiana standards. But the key here is this is a brand new test. And so I will not even go as far as to say that the test, that the scores are low. I will say that the scores are the first year scores of a brand new test. And we believe that it is not appropriate to take scores from the former ISTEP test and compare them to the results from a brand new test. And so we're asking that teachers, students, schools, school districts, communities be held harmless through this process, that we allow this first year of the ILEARN to be a baseline year on what we're doing and that we're able to move forward. But I would like, as would our members, like to see that we begin also moving toward a time where we begin to uncouple the results from student standardized test from teacher evaluation. We find that that is a distraction from what we should be doing in the classroom and what we should be doing with results from this test. These tests should be helping us identify what are needs for students as they move on through school.
What do penalties for schools and teachers because of these scores look like right now?
Penalties for teachers would be determining on where the letter grade or the results from your students would determine what your ranking is within the school district, and there's pay differential at each one of those various rankings. It can also play into, should your school district be in a position where they needed to lay off teachers, that could put you on the layoff line from the results from this test. So that's financially, and then just how you can move through the work in your district, how that impacts teachers. For schools and school districts, it can also impact the resources that they have available. Those that are rated at an F for a number of years could be placed on a list with the Department of Ed and with the state school board, in which certain interventions then have to come into play. And worst case scenario is state takeover of school districts.
What is the change that you want to make, and what would that legislation look like?
Well, I will say that the leaders of both the House and the Senate did send a letter to Superintendent McCormick and to the State Board of Ed, stating that it was their intent to move immediately in January to hold harmless teachers on the results from iLearn, and that they ask that the State Board of Ed and the Department of Ed both take action now to allow funds be released in order to pay teachers according to where their rank is with the results from the test. So the leadership of both the House and the Senate did take action already to do that, and then that will be an item that they'll take up legislatively once they gavel in January. The next portion of that will then be also for schools and for school districts. And though that wasn't a part of this letter for action from the State Board and the Department of Ed, we do want to make sure that that becomes a part for school districts and schools.
All right. So that's the second of three key issues. The first, repealing new career awareness licensing rules. The second, of course, avoiding penalties because of low iLearn scores. The third is using state surplus money to fund better schools. How specific is that goal right now? Do you know exactly how much money you're looking for?
Well, what we have to look at, and when we're saying surplus, Indiana this year will take in $400 million above what they forecast that they would be taking in.
Wow.
So we're not discussing the $2 billion in surplus.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the $400 million from this year. So this is all part of the budget year. That $400 million that came in, we believe that in the neighborhood of $75 million would be a good down payment on helping to move forward in pay and for not just for teachers, but we also have to look at bus drivers. We're struggling to get folks to be bus drivers, to be school secretaries, all of those other jobs that exist in our schools. We have to move forward with that. The state talks about over 2% new monies in public education, but over half of our public school districts will not see a 2% increase in their funding. We have 60 school districts will receive less money this year than they did under the biennium a year ago, and another 96 school districts do not see the 2%, which means that they don't keep up with the rate of inflation.
I mean, it seems like it should be an easy ask. There's a lot of money available, but what is the biggest hurdle to getting that state surplus money?
The biggest hurdle right now is members of the House and the Senate saying this isn't a budget year. And to use the statement that the funding is determined in the first year for the biennium budget and that they don't do budgetary items in the second year of the biennium. So that, I believe, is going to be the biggest hurdle that we have to cross. But we believe when the state is so far into the black for the 1 year, $400 million, that using a portion of that as a down payment on moving us forward. The governor's pay commission, you know, they're reporting out that we are last in the region in teacher salaries. We're 51st in growth in the country. And we know that we have a high rate of folks on emergency permits. We have very high rates of jobs that have been unfilled yet this school year. So we're going to have to do something about this right away, or we're going to be in a situation where schools are forced to say, we just simply can't offer certain coursework because there isn't anyone here to teach.
Yeah, let's not bind this up on a technicality. Teacher pay, of course, has been a primary issue for the Indiana State Teachers Association. We hear a lot about schools having issues keeping and retaining teachers. How much is pay a part of that problem?
Our reporting shows that up to 88% of those who leave the profession cite pay as the number one reason for leaving.
Where is the effort to increase teacher pay right now? Does it feel like you're closer to making it happen with lawmakers?
Well, you know, the governor, we have to give him credit for advancing the money. It's a a complicated system where there was a buy down in the retirement that helped free up money in school districts that could be used then for salaries. So it gets a little wonky in explaining it, but the governor did make that avenue available. And so when you're seeing reports from school districts settling good contracts this year, by and large, there's a part of that that is due to that buy down that occurred. But what I want to make sure that folks know, it has been a decade-long issue of pay sliding backwards. And one good contract isn't going to make up for being a decade behind.
Mm. We've heard from some people, including teachers, that communication between teachers around the state and lawmakers at the State House has not been so great. What's your sense for how these discussions are going right now?
Well, I would encourage, have been, and continue to encourage our members to tell their stories, to make sure that they get face-to-face with their lawmakers, and make sure that community is there to hear as well about what it is that they are seeing happening in their schools and how any of the rules from externship to low funding is having an impact in the classroom.
Keith Gamble, he's the president of the Indiana State Teachers Association and a middle school music teacher in Evansville. Thank you so much for your time.
Certainly. Thank you very much.
Up next, we talked to two teachers yesterday who plan to be at today's rally about their careers and why they're supporting Red for Ed today at the State House. Again, these conversations are pre-recorded, but we'd still love to know what you think about Red for Ed. Should teachers get everything they're asking for? Or if you disagree on one or all points, let us know. Find us on Facebook and Twitter at All In Indiana. I'm Matt Pelser. We're back in 90 seconds. This is All In. This is All In. I'm Matt Pelser. Today we're talking about the Red for Ed rally at the State House, and we're going to hear from a couple teachers who will be at the rally today. First, Lori Young. She's a teacher at F.J. Wright High School in Evansville, and she's the first vice president of the Evansville Teachers Association. Lori, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
So how long have you been teaching?
This is my 27th year of teaching.
Same high school the whole time?
No, I spent 24 years teaching middle school. I spent 12 of those up in the Indianapolis area and the rest here in my hometown of Evansville.
And what do you teach?
I teach chemistry and integrated chemistry and physics.
Ooh, nice.
Now, thank you.
In addition to teaching, do you work any other jobs?
I am fortunate that I do not have to work any additional jobs.
Have you ever, though? I mean, not right now, but have you ever in the course of your teaching career felt the need to take on another income?
Oh, yes, definitely.
And what sorts of things did you do?
Let's see. I've worked out in retail in the summer months. Let's see. I've babysat other people's children. I've tutored. I've done just about whatever I can do.
So why are you participating in Red for Ed? What message do you want to send to lawmakers?
Well, I have several that I want to send, but my first one is about teacher pay. I am fortunate enough to be at the top of the scale because of all the years I've taught. But when I retire, there are going to be people who I'm not sure they're going to want to step up and take my place because they're not being compensated well for it whatsoever.
Go ahead.
Well, my second thing is people need to realize how much we test our students. That is driving me nuts. It's driving my students bonkers. And I mean, I have students who are totally stressed out, who cry before tests. And I'm like, it's okay. It is all right. Everything's going to be fine. But that's hard for them to see that at this age.
And you're talking about iLearn and one of the three.
Correct.
Yeah, one of the three sort of key things that teachers
yes.
are trying to get across is mm-hmm. the fact that this new test throws a wrench into the gears.
It does.
Now, have you been involved with any past Red for Ed events or any other rallies at the State House?
Yes, I came up on one of our first Red for Ed that was on a Saturday. And that was well attended by our teachers, but was not well attended by any legislators. I did see mainly Democrats there. I did see a few Republicans there who are pro-education or pro-public education there. But it was disappointing not to see others there.
What sense have you gotten, from lawmakers about how they feel about these issues? Do you find that some are more willing to participate than others?
I find that more people are willing to participate, but yet I always wonder if some of it's just lip service that they're paying us, because we've asked these things before and they're always like, oh yeah, we'll do that for you. And yet they haven't followed through.
And, and at the same time, the political process is one that is sort of slow moving when it comes to certain things.
Correct.
But through the people that we've talked to on this, it seems like there's overwhelming public support. What do you think is binding things up?
I don't know what's binding things up. I think the legislators are holding on to some money, and I'm not sure why they're not investing it in education. They want us to do all of these things for our students, but yet they won't fund it. They pass mandates all the time, and the mandates never get funded by them. So then our school has to pick up the cost, and that takes away from our students.
How would you characterize the relationship between Indiana teachers and lawmakers right now?
Oh, right now I would say it's pretty shaky ground. I do believe teachers are willing to work with the legislators, and we're actually willing to work with them, whereas the legislators, I don't really feel that they're wanting to do that. I mean, it's quite evident to me, some of their education groups that they have, they don't have a single teacher on it. Not one single teacher is on the committees for education. And that just tells me right there that they're not really truly interested in helping us, because if they were, we would be on the committees with them.
How much political power does it feel like Indiana teachers have as a collective right now?
As a collective, I think we have far more power than what our legislators think we do. I think people in our community and in our state still listen to teachers. When we talk, they still listen. We have a positive impact. We can see all sides of the situation, and people will follow our lead.
And you've been teaching for a long time. How has the power of teachers changed over that time, if at all?
I think it's dramatically changed. When I first started teaching, I was able to be super creative, work with all other disciplinary areas to create wonderful, exciting units where the students could actually learn and see how science applied, not only in my area, of course, but across in math and in English and in social studies. That made it wonderful. That went by the wayside, and now I feel that I have to be on the same page as every other person in my district and even in the state, really, that says I have to teach this page on this day, and this is basically the way you have to teach it. And my problem always with that is, well, what if my kids aren't getting it? Do I just go on and leave them all behind? And I have been told by some administrators that, yes, go ahead and leave them. If they can't get it, just leave them behind. And I can't do that. As a teacher, I cannot do that to my students.
How does it feel seeing so many school districts shutting down for the day for this Red for Ed rally?
I'm excited about it. It makes me very hopeful that the school administrators, along with the teachers, that we can make a difference in Indianapolis and that our voices will be heard, because we are united now. This is our calling. This is our business that we are dealing with. And it's time for the legislators to actually open up their ears and listen.
She's a teacher at F.J. Wrights High School in Evansville and first vice president of the Evansville Teachers Association. Lori Young, thanks for your time.
Well, thanks a lot. And thanks again for having me.
And we're on the line with Amber Seibert. She's a teacher at Westlane Middle School in Washington Township in Indianapolis. Amber, hello.
Hello. Good afternoon.
So how long have you been teaching at Westlane Middle School?
This is my fourth year teaching here.
How about total? How many total years have you been teaching?
I have worked here the entirety of my teaching career, not including substitute teaching that I did after I graduated.
Well, speaking of other jobs, do you work any other jobs in addition to teaching?
I do. I coach our school's dance team with one of my colleagues, and I also am the sponsor of our honor society. I also drive for DoorDash on occasion.
And can you give us a sense for what your school, Westlane Middle School, is like, how it compares to other schools in the area?
Yeah, I always tell people there's no place like Westlane because there's just so much heart. But I think I was kind of shocked coming in because I'm originally from Evansville, Indiana, and, you know, a majority of white students and white teachers. And it was kind of a culture shock for me in a good way when I came to Washington Township in Westlane. We are a majority-minority school, so we have a lot of diversity, which is great for our kids and our staff. We're a Title I school, so most of our students, or a good portion of them, qualify for free or reduced lunch. And our building's pretty old. We passed a referendum in my township in 2016 to start renovating. We just now started on it, which is exciting because we need a lot of renovating. I've got holes in my classroom floor. We've got paint peeling. I've bought my own paint to paint and spruce up my own classroom. But I think it's just a special place because adults really care about kids, and you can feel that.
So have there been any problems at Westlane as far as the teaching experience goes? What effect have some of the problems there had on the teachers?
I think I don't know if it's because we are more aware or if it's just society, but there we do have a lot of students with high needs. So, like, we are learning about trauma-informed teaching, and our students have a lot of needs that just can't be met with the current staffing we have because of funding, like social workers, counselors, like special ed teachers and stuff like that. And so we see a lot of behaviors that happen as a result of those needs not being met. And so it makes our jobs harder.
And you're going to be at the State House, or you're rather, we're pre-recording this. You're at the State House as this airs.
Yes. Yes.
Why are you participating? What message do you want to send?
When I went into teaching, I never intended to become a teacher activist. And then when I came into my school and I saw the conditions and I saw all the problems that my students faced, you know, I was like, I'm never going to really think of them as my kids. It's just going to be a job. But when you get in there, you're like, okay, these are my kids. And my students are some of our most vulnerable, underserved children in our state. And it made me angry because I think they deserve so much better. So I got involved in my association. And last year was my first time going to the State House with the Indiana State Teachers Association and lobbying and advocating for my students. I've testified twice, and I've only been teaching 4 years, but I'm like, how can we continue to do this? Because the legislators, I know they've got a lot on their plates, but I just think it is a complete oversight to not invest in our children and give them the very best. And when I come in the classroom and I look my students in the eyes, I need to be able to tell them that I have done every single thing possible to make sure that they have a successful future. So that's why I will be there with a few thousand of my closest friends and colleagues on Tuesday.
Is there one specific thing you want most in the upcoming legislative session? There are a few things on teachers' agendas when it comes to Red for Ed, but what's the one thing you want to see change?
I think that teaching is, a lot of naysayers will say, well, teachers are greedy, and there's a misconception that, we knew we weren't going to get money when we came in, or we only work X amount of months in a year, which is just not accurate. But for me, the thing that really hit home was the bill they passed last year for the 15-hour externship requirement for teachers to renew their license. Because what that tells me is not only are legislators not listening, but legislators have no respect or understanding for what we do in our profession. So on top of teaching and on top of, which is hard enough, on top of multiple jobs, teachers are now having to go out and spend 15 hours doing an unpaid externship because we don't know what our students need to be successful, according to them. So I just think that is completely, I think it's a slap in the face.
Have you gotten any sense from lawmakers about how they feel about these issues? You mentioned the externship issue, but have you heard anything from them on that or any of the other things that Red for Ed is pushing for?
So when I went to the lobby days last year, I spoke to some of my legislators, the ones that were willing to come talk to me anyway. And they just gave me a lot of, well, my hands are tied and, well, we've only got this much money. And, you know, education is a big part of our budget, which I did my research and education is a big part of every state's budget because it encompasses like preschool through college. But my thing is, too, that, you know, they're like, OK, well, there's really nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do. Like that seemed to be the impression that I got. And it's just frustrating because as a teacher, I have to, you know, do some blood from the stone miracle work and I'm expected to do X, Y, and Z. And they're just unwilling to even say like, okay, well, here's some ideas that I have. And they had Governor Holcomb's teacher compensation panel and they were asking teachers and citizens, like, what are your ideas for revenue? And that's just really frustrating because on top of my job is teaching, now I'm supposed to figure out like tax code and state budgets. And I'm basically doing their job on top of my job, on top of my second job.
Are you optimistic about some of the changes coming this session? Does it feel like we're moving toward the changes that you want?
I am optimistic, which could be my personality because I teach middle school. So if I'm not optimistic, you know, my job's a lot harder. But I'm optimistic because I am finally seeing people who, you know, maybe complained on social media or to each other in the hallway come to me and say, what can I do? When are we going to do this and this? And I feel like the public's becoming aware of how dire the situation is. Even my kids become aware. We wear red every Wednesday and they catch on and they start wearing red. And I see the success other states have had, like the teachers in Chicago and in West Virginia and in Kentucky. And it makes me hopeful because I think there is a pathway to success. And when I see how many school districts closed for their teachers to attend the Red for Ed rally, it does give me hope. Because I think at this point that we have got to go up because I don't know how much further down we can go and survive.
How much power does it feel like Indiana teachers have as a collective right now?
I think, again, I keep thinking to Kentucky and how their governor badmouthed teachers and did all these things with their pension and was just completely against them. And the Indiana State Teachers Association building is right across from the Capitol. And so I keep thinking to myself, all of these, so many teachers in this state, if they are finally waking up and realizing that we have this collective voice, the way teachers did in Kentucky, then I think that, you know, a storm's coming because we have a precedent, we're gaining power. And, you know, just knowing educators, our job is to basically do whatever it takes. And I don't know any teacher who gives up easily.
She's a teacher at West Lane Middle School in Washington Township in Indianapolis, and she's part of that storm at the State House today. Amber Seibert, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
And of course, keep listening to this Indiana Public Broadcasting station for more on Red for Ed and other education issues and updates from our reporter Jeannie Lindsay, who we heard from earlier this hour. Our producers are Drew Dodlin and Maggie Galon. Scott Cameron is our managing editor. Our show is engineered by Adam Gross. If you'd like a podcast of this show or any past show, you can find it wherever you get your podcasts. Find us on Twitter and Facebook at All In Indiana. I'm at Matt Pelser on Twitter, if you like. Thanks for listening. This is All In.